Thanks, Mr. Benedict. Yeah, it's nice to be here. Thanks for asking me. I always do a meeting on a Friday because I still get the Friday feeling. Yeah, and I've been in recovery now for 3 years, 11 months, and I still get that feeling like, what now? So I always go to a meeting, do fellowship after. So I'll start at the beginning. I'm from Bow, East London, and I had a good upbringing, structured, strict. There was no using, and I didn't have my first drink until I was 15, and it was bad from the start. I got arrested, drunk and disorderly on Thunderbirds. That was the first drink. You'd think that would have been a sign, but no. And then the next time was my cousins. They came and took me out, and they dressed me up and took me to a nightclub called Antics. It's underneath Bow Flyover, and that night I had my first peel, my first line, and my first snog. So that was it. I was off. And and I just used to get on it every weekend. And then, nothing really bad happened. And then I met my first boyfriend when I was 18, and he was a drug dealer, and we used to just get on it weekends. And then, how it goes, you start getting on it on a Wednesday, and then it progresses to every night. And there was a cycle with me. It was, I'd get on it every weekend, and then Monday I'd be dying. And then suicide Tuesday, and then back on it Wednesday, and it just went like that. But I always went to work, so that's why I found it so hard to identify with being an addict, because I didn't think that addicts went to work. And sometimes I went to work with no sleep, sometimes I took a bit of gear with me, and occasionally I had a sickie. But I thought that he was the problem. So I thought if we'd been together for 5 years and I was at my job for 7, and I thought if I leave him and if I can just get to Australia, everything would be all right. Yeah, I know, my thinking. And off I went to Australia, and I didn't touch my drug of choice for a whole year while I was out there. But what I now know is I substitute one for another, and I picked up alcohol. And, I got there went out there to find myself. And, I arrived there, same thinking. And I was really lost when I was out there. And I'd done a lot of damage. Alcohol was, it was just carnage, absolute carnage. And I knocked my front tooth out. I broke my arm. I lost my self-respect, my dignity. It was just absolute carnage. So I came back. I also put on 2 stone because I was drinking lagers. So I came back, and I thought, I'm better off on the gear. So I got with another drug dealer and just carried on the same cycle. And then when things got really bad was when my brother passed away. He was one of us, and he didn't make it. And I always share about him because it's so precious what we've got here. And it's life or death, and, he didn't make it. And I didn't know about this stuff then, so I couldn't help him. I was too wrapped up in my own stuff. So, yeah, and that's when it got really bad for me. I wasn't working, and I got signed off of work, so that was just spiralled out of control. It just gave me, the ammo to get on it all the time. And the only way I can describe it is I had this massive hole, and the only thing that filled it was getting on it. And, it was just a nightmare. I was always the drunkiest. I was always the one crying. I was the one doing moonies, doing all outrageous stuff. And I just didn't understand what was wrong with me, but I knew there was something wrong. So I tried lots of different things. I'd book up yoga retreats. I'd go on meditation retreats. I went on one retreat where you don't talk for 10 days. But I came out 2 days later, and I'm in the pub with a fag and a wine, telling them all how amazing it was. It was just really messed up. I've read every self-help book under the sun, you name it, I've read it. I even run marathons. I thought if I could run a marathon, And I had someone waiting at the finishing line with a bag of gear. Don't recommend it. It was around 26 miles, and then I went on an all-night bender. And the next day it was horrendous. Yeah, I couldn't even walk. And I did a half marathon, steel at my nut. I'd been out on the pills all night, and just doing all sorts of stuff like that. And some of this stuff, it worked for a little while. It did make me feel better for a little while. But the only thing that I've stuck to consistently and that's really worked for me is coming to NA. And it's, I really think it's because of the love and support that you get when you come to meetings. And but anyway, how I got here was I hadn't seen a friend of mine for a year. And the reason we fell out was because she didn't invite me out on her birthday, and I saw the pictures and I thought, Libby. I now know that the reason she didn't invite me is because she was trying desperately to stop getting on it, and I was always the one that called the gear on, so she didn't invite me. Anyway, I met up with her, I'd seen her for a year, and when I met her, she looked amazing, right? She had this sparkle in her eye, and she told me she hadn't had a drink for a year. And so I come through another fellowship, and I have to share that because it's part of my story. So she told me about this other fellowship and how amazing it was. And when she left, I wanted what she had. I had a hangover, I'd screwed up the night before, I hated myself, absolutely hated what was staring back in the mirror, and I was just sick and tired. And I went to the other fellowship, and I got 6 weeks, and I thought, looking for the differences. And I went back out, and I went back out for a month, and it really screws it up for you when you get a bit of recovery. Right? So anyway, went out for that month. And then it was New Year's Eve, and it was either go to a dry rave with her or go out with my mates and have one last night on it. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to have one last night on it. And so I went out, and I was always saying it was my last night on it, though, so I didn't really know that that was going to be my last night. And I had an all-night bender, and, I went to bed, and it's the same old story, heart beating out of my chest, praying to God, please let me sleep, I won't do it again. And then the next day we got up, and the photos had already been posted. And when you go in on a close-up to me, there was blood coming out of one nostril and coke coming out the other. And, oh, my God, I look disgusting. Like, I'm dead, but all my hair's done and I'm spray-tanned up. I think I look amazing, but I didn't. And that was real, shock to me, and I thought, I've really had enough. So I got 90 days in the other fellowship, and I remember picking up my 90-day keyring in an NA meeting because my cousin... She called me, she went, we're going to go to an NA convention. She's been a member of NA for 7 years at that point. And I said, but I'm not an addict. Because I didn't understand anything about addiction. I just about admitted that I was an alcoholic, let alone an addict. So she came down and she said, just come along. So I remember we went to the bank meeting that was my 90 days, that was on the Thursday, and then Friday was the London convention. I sat down and I listened to the chair, and I was absolutely blown away. It was Roz, and I'm allowed to say that in here, aren't I? Yeah. Anyway, she done this chair and she looked amazing, she's all glamorous, flicking her hair around, and her story, I just identified with her story, and I thought, wow, she's an addict, maybe I am. And I stayed at the London convention, and I met loads of amazing people, and the love and the hugs, and that was it. I switched that weekend, and committed to NA. I hadn't got a sponsor or anything like that before that, so I got a sponsor, and all I've done is what's been suggested. I've done what I was told, and thank you. And it's as simple as that. She told me I had to get two commitments, one at a step meeting. I'd done that. I read Just for Today. I write a gratitude list, and I work the steps. And And I still wasn't totally convinced I was an addict, even when I'd done my step one. I poured my guts out in the step one because I was terrified that she was going to say, you know what, Luce, you're not an addict. You can go home now. You know. So I was writing, but they were slow to denial, so it was really conflicting, and like some of the questions, and that's what I love about the green and gold. You can't get away from it. The questions repeat themselves, and you know there was questions that I said no to, like, have you ever stolen drugs? No. Have you ever sold yourself for drugs? No. But you know, when we looked a little deeper, if you give me a wrap of gear and I'm in the toilet, you know, I'll take a little bit out for myself, make a little wrap, that was mine, give you back yours, stealing drugs. And you know, I hung around with drug dealers, and at the end of the night we was romantically involved, let's call it. Yeah. It's the same thing, it's just glorified. So, yeah, it was really interesting. And then once I finished the step one and I went home, and I spent the whole day in bed and I cried, and I was crying for that 23-year-old girl who didn't know what was wrong with her. And now I knew what was wrong with me, you know, finally. And I had a solution. And so I carried on working the rest of the steps, and oh my God, no idea what was in store. You know, I'm not the same person who walked in the door. I'm a much better version. I've cleared up the wreckage, and I've made amends for everything that I did, and I've been forgiven, and most importantly, I've forgiven myself. And yeah, I've got some amazing things happening in my life today. Amazing. And you know, all I really wanted when I came here was to be a normal person. That was the dream for me. I just wanted to be normal, not stop messing up every single time. And that is what I've got through coming here. So that's living a dream. The only regret I've got about coming here is that I didn't do it sooner. Yeah, I'll leave it there.